Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And boy, oh boy, do I have a lot of stuff to cover with you this week. We're going to be talking about Hillary and Donald just a little bit, their messages. I'll be pointing out just a couple of things to you. A lot of that's covered by the mainstream media, although not the specific points I think I'm going to be bringing up. I'm going to make that short because, let's face it, that's about all you can hear. We're going to be talking about voter fraud. I have specific examples of voter fraud in this election, last election, and some very scary stuff about the voting machines. George Soros's involvement in 57,000 of those voting machines, and yet another company's involvement in those voting machines, who just happens to be a contributor to, guess what, the Clinton Foundation. Amazing. Must be just a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Particularly with those Veritas videos that are coming out with catching Democratic operatives of the campaign with Hillary's blessing, I might add, if you saw the last video, planning widespread voter fraud. I talked last week, about voter fraud. 2.5 million estimated votes in the 2012 election. 14% of illegal aliens, non-U.S. citizens, contrary to the Constitution, casting ballots. Yeah, this is not a little deal. This is a big deal. And I'm going to bring it up later, but there is an app for your phone, free to download, easy to download, from True the Vote. That's True the Vote. And if you remember, that's one of the groups that was persecuted by the IRS, which Barack Obama said he knew nothing about. You know, his lips move, he lies. They've put out an app that you can put on your phone to report and record instantaneously any instances of voter fraud you see anywhere. I suggest you download that app. You know, do it for you, do it for your kids, do it for the Constitution, and do it for the country. We'll have more information for that download later in the show in that segment, and I believe it's posted in the articles below under politics and or voter fraud or both. Download it. All right. We're going to be talking about the Senate plan of the Democrats. The House, talking about the House and taking over the House is a diversion. It's not going to happen. The Senate is what Hillary Clinton will need if she wins the election. And, of course, with the revelations now about the reopening of the FBI investigation, which we're going to talk about a little bit, too, particularly the Democratic reaction to it, I'm going to bring up some points that perhaps have not caught your attention, and certainly the mainstream media is not going to bring to your attention concerning that. The Senate is key. You'll see under politics a bunch of links. This is for the Pennsylvania Senate race, the Florida Senate race, the North Carolina Senate race, the Nevada Senate race, and several others. There are links there to those campaigns. It's not to any special interest group. It is directly to the campaigns of the Republicans who are running to either retain their seats or Republicans who are challenging Democratic incumbents, such as the gentleman who's challenging Bai in Indiana, who's not an incumbent, by the way, but is a long-term prior senator, who, like the rest of the Democrats and progressives, while they like to tell us how they're for the common people, has grown rich during his time in the Senate and thereafter, and doesn't even live in Indiana, hasn't even been to his residence in Indiana in, like, years. Unbelievable. All right, and I encourage you to click on those links, you know, give $10, give $20, give $50. I personally have contributed to each and every one of those campaigns. I've contributed to Donald Trump's campaign. And I've contributed to several PACs, including the Great America PAC, which I think is probably the best, and Newt Gingrich's PAC. But you know what? Put some money where your mouth is, folks. This is skin in the game. This is what differentiates our side from the other side. The other side wants to take. They are the victims. They believe that everybody exists for their benefit, their welfare, their power, their pocketbook. Our side believes in self-reliance. Our side believes in work. Our side believes in American values and the Constitution. And I don't mean to impugn you liberals who listen to this show as opposed to you progressives, who I do mean to impugn, who listen to this show. Put some dough in, guys and girls. $10, $20, $30, $50. This is the last days of the campaign. Do it in the next 24 hours so that they have time to use it in their last 10-day, 8-day, 9-day push. Because the Senate is a key to this overall election. I talked about it in the last two shows. Go back and listen to them. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it today also to kind of hammer it home. And then we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton's plans for the middle class. I mean, she's up there and she talks about how she's all for the middle class. Let's go over her specific plans, and you can decide how it's going to help you, including what just surfaced, and I warned you about this a year and a half ago, when Barack Obama brought up the MIRA, M-Y-I-R-A, plan, idea, whatever, when he floated it out there twice, including at a State of the Union speech, I warned you this was coming. I warned you. These guys always telegraph their moves because they always test the words, test the presentation, and then, because they're long ball players, bring it up at the opportune time, usually when either there is a crisis or, more likely, when they manufacture a crisis. So now you're going to find out in this segment, which will be coming up in the latter third of the show, you're going to find out how all our retirement accounts, our IRAs, our 401 KEOs, et cetera, there's a big crisis. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, it's not working, quote unquote. It needs to be fixed. You need to put all your money in government accounts. I'll tell you all about it. You'll just love it. A real middle-class boon, of course. And then we're going to be talking about the Internet. I've talked a little bit about it as we've gone along, but the relinquishment of control of the Internet by relinquishing the control of the awarding of Internet domains to an international tribunal by an executive order by Barack Obama. This is a big, big, big deal. For all you folks who like the Internet, like to go to Google, like to pull up whatever you can, whenever you can, whenever you want, this is a big deal. For all of you who want information that's true and accurate and up to speed, this is a big deal. For any of you who want to start a domain, a business, a whatever, this is a big deal. It's also a big deal for the United States domains, like, you know, USGov military, USGov. I mean, we're putting the control of domains now in the hands of Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, and others. That's just not going to come out well. I'll tell you what's going on and what you can do about it. So, anyway, we have lots to cover. Now, before I get started, I've gotten a number of emails. This has to do with the books. I've gotten a number of emails that Amazon changed the pub date and canceled all the pre-orders on books 4 and 5. That is true. That is standard. If you change a pub date on Amazon, a publication date, when a book's going to come out, they're going to cancel pre-orders or give you the option to cancel your pre-orders. You know, from time to time, they kind of vary it. But that is standard practice on almost all websites on which you can buy books, other than the publisher's website, www.threadswestseries.com. No matter what the pub date is, your reservation remains firm. Kind of nice, so you don't have to redo it. We now have firm pub dates on the books. Book 4, last Thursday in February. Book 5, last Thursday in April. And Book 6, last Thursday in June, right before July 4th. You know, over the last 2 years, I had a huge wreck, flood, tear down to the dirt floors, rebuild the ranch house, wrecked the truck in the middle of New Mexico, got sucked into the irrigation siphon, which I never talked about much, but almost lost my leg in my life, other than my 8-year-old grandson kind of saved my butt. Got over, 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, a double hernia, trauma hernia surgery, which had resulted from my getting pulled out of the siphon. The siphon sucking on me on one end, and 7 guys behind me sucking on me from the other end, and my belly in the middle. And, as you know, from the week before last, the kind of eulogy I delivered for my dad and all his compatriots of the greatest generation, and told you last week it was my dad, in fact, who had passed away and who I was talking about. You know, that situation is resolving itself as best as it can. So, all that stuff's kind of in the rearview mirror, and I'm hunkered down and bringing to fruition the work I've done on these books despite all that crap in the last year and a half. And they're coming at you, and they're going to be coming at you quick. We're going to make up for lost time here. So there are your pub dates. You'll see them go back up on the website shortly. I will be getting an email out to all you subscribers on the book sites. And we're off to the racetracks. Thank you for your patience. Sorry for the delay, but life got in the way. And there's really not a lot your cowboy author could have done about it. Now, let's get to the show. This is the second to last show before the election. That this is a big election, I don't need to tell you about. We have talked about it over the last 3 or 4 shows. Go back and, you know, type in the words globalism, type in the words New World Order. Listen to the last 3 or 4 shows. We've discussed the fact this is not an election between conservatives and liberals, men and women, age classes, you name it. This is a election between national sovereignty, America, and global interests, the United Nations, the European Union, and the rest. This is about maintaining the identity of this country and its values versus open borders and, in the exact words of Hillary Clinton in her own speeches to Brazilian banks and Goldman Sachs, her dream of an open hemisphere with open borders. That's 600 million folks that can come into our country, folks. Open borders, free trade, open this, open that. It's also an election, folks, between the status quo, which I think by now, particularly with this latest FBI reopening the Clinton investigation and the WikiLeaks stuff that's been coming out, this is black and white. This is their own emails. I mean, it doesn't get any more black and white than that. I think we can agree that there is a rather high, and I'm being really kind, level of corruption. There is a 100% pattern of deceit and lying at the upper echelons of the progressive movement. And the upper echelons of the progressive movement include Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton's aide, Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin, her campaign manager, John Podesta, all her little puppets running around out there on her behalf doing their dirty tricks, and a whole bunch of other people who happen to be in positions of power because we've been asleep at the switch in federal, state, and local governments. Time for them all to go. Time for those that need to be prosecuted to be prosecuted. Time for those that need to be charged with treason and, after due process, found guilty and hung. So be it. Welcome to to the Constitution. And Donald Trump, in addition to, as he would call it, draining that swamp, Donald Trump is an unknown. Now, he has certain policies. like I've said several times on these shows, if he can build the wall, if he can lower taxes, particularly corporate taxes — our corporate taxes are now the highest in the world, no wonder companies and jobs are leaving — if he can abolish federal education and get it back to the states, get rid of Obamacare and replace it with some of the goodies that Obamacare has, but interstate competition and private type fixes, along with building up the military and mashing ISIS and their compatriots, man, he's great. I don't care if he does another thing. He can open all the hotels he wants, play golf all he wants, be outrageous all he wants. He can do whatever he wants. If he gets those five or six things done, he's terrific. So this election is about choosing between the change you are unsure of and the absolute decline that you can be positive of. So that is what this election is about. And to me, there is no choice. Personally, I don't cast votes for crooks, liars, and thieves. And I don't know why anybody else would either. So, you know, Hillary — I listened to Hillary's speech yesterday, Friday. I think she was talking in Iowa. First of all, she didn't say a word about the news that had been released an hour or two earlier about the FBI reopening the investigation into her crooked dealings at the foundation, the emails, the server, classified information, which she has lied time and time and time and time and time and time again, which we all knew, but which has been proven by the WikiLeaks and now whatever else the FBI has gotten their hands on. Not a word. Not a peep. Not a peep. And then she spent most of the speech hitting Donald Trump on, you know, the women thing and the vulgar thing and the election thing and all sorts of crap. And since I follow this closely, I can tell you that 80% of what she tried to allude to him saying was totally either out of context or flat wrong. For instance, she said he's going to abolish Roe versus Wade. He didn't say — she said that he said he was going to abolish Roe versus Wade. He didn't say that. He said he would appoint judges that might lean in that direction, and that he was against third trimester abortions. I mean, that's what he said, not what she said he said. And then she talked about taxes, you know, and again misquoted him. And then she hit him for being this, that, and the other, and who knows what. Oh, yes, the billion-dollar loss in 1995, 94, who cares when it was. You know, no mention of the fact that half that loss is depreciation, a non-cash loss standard in real estate. No mention of all her donors taking the same losses. No mention of her own tax returns, which not only take those losses, $700,000 last year, by the way, same exact type of losses, just different amount of zeros. But she didn't mention the fact that literally — I do not make this up, I brought this up to you before, and if you go back, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, you'll see the article. She took $2 donations, $2 write-offs for donating Bill Clinton's underwear. You can't make this crap up. This is the truth. This is the woman who's talking about real estate-related depreciation. All right. Anyway, then she says early in the speech, and you know what Michelle Obama said in her great speech at the convention. You know, Michelle Obama, who hates my guts. No, she didn't say that, but that happens to be the truth. What she said was, if they go low, we go high. And then the rest of the speech was her in the friggin' gutter. No policies, no nothing. I think she mentioned, oh, I'm for children. I'm for the family, and I'm for the middle class. I mean, literally that general. Nope, nothing. Zero. Nada. So this woman contradicts and lies in front of her supporters and TV cameras in her own delivery of her own closing arguments. I mean, it's truly remarkable. Remarkable. Donald Trump, on the other hand, a wild card that he is, and, you know, slightly wild man that he is, he hit her hard on this FBI opening the reinvestigation. He talked about his borders, his tax, his Obamacare policies, and I think is delivering a much more cogent and on-point message than she is. He's doing a nice job, finally, if he will stick with it, of slapping her with facts, not surmises, facts, which are self-evidentiary as to her corruption and her, shall we say, lack of fitness to be the commander-in-chief, while at the same time hammering home his five or six major policy points, which I kind of outlined for you at the beginning of this discourse. And once again, if he can get those five or six things done, I don't care what else he does. I just don't care, other than Supreme Court justices. So I think we're starting to see an unraveling on the Democratic side. It's been very interesting to watch their reaction to this FBI thing, this new FBI thing. I mean, John Podesta came out with some memo saying, well, if you got something, let's see it. Now, they know very well. I mean, how many times have you heard Democrats, including Clinton, Obama, Lynch, you name it, how many times have you heard them say, well, we can't comment on that, we can't show you this because it's the middle of an investigation. But, if it's an investigation of Hillary Clinton, corrupt scumbag, in that case, we want to see it all. We want to see it now. And, of course, they know it can't come out now, which I'm sure they are wiping their fevered and sweaty brows over. You know, it struck me in listening to all this tempest, there was another Democrat on another channel, and he was talking about, well, you know, it can't be really serious or this or that or blah, 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 and we don't know what it is, so it's probably nothing, and you know, yada, 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 and in July, Comey said she was okay, and whatever. I mean, it's kind of humorous to watch them kind of spin on their tops right now. To dangle at the end of their ropes, so to speak. But what strikes me is everybody's missing the point. If Hillary Clinton had been honest and truthful, truly a public servant, a follower of the Constitution, and an American first, everything else, including herself, second, we would have known about all this stuff 18 or 24 months ago. Or, even better, it would have never happened. So let's go back to the beginning. That always seems to clarify things for me. Because, you know, the Clintons and the Democrats and the progressives, which are all one and the same, they're great at muddying the waters. So let's clear the waters. This whole thing exists now in whatever form it is, which is not good for Hillary Clinton and the progressives. This whole thing exists because they are lying crooks who did not disclose their lying crookedness and perpetrated their lying crookedness to begin with. If they hadn't lied and stolen, there'd be nothing to hide. And if they did lie and steal and disclosed it, there'd be nothing to disclose. This is simple stuff. 2 + 2 = 4, water runs downhill. So, you know, I'm kind of watching with some amusement. I'm waiting for one of these great talking head pundits to come up with the basic facts here. Hey, this all goes back to the beginning. They lied, stole, then lied about lying, and didn't disclose. And now it's all coming out. All right. You know, if Hillary Clinton wins this election, and I still think Trump's going to pull it out. If Hillary Clinton wins this election and we lose the Senate, by we, I'm using kind of throwing in a lot of different people who aren't really conservatives into the conservative pile. If we lose control in the Senate, Hillary Clinton, although she won't be able to pass much legislation, I'm going to go over this for you again. I've gone over it twice now in the last 3 weeks. This is how critical it is because everybody's losing sight of this. And this is the Democratic plan. This is her playbook. If we lose control of the Senate, she will have a rubber stamp on every judicial nomination. That is district courts, federal appeals courts, and the Supreme Court. And with those in place, despite the fact the House is Republican and can block things and has the power of the purse if it would friggin' have the cojones to exercise it, she can ramrod through executive orders, just like Obama has, and she can get them blessed when they're challenged by the very judicial appointees she has made to federal courts, appeals courts, and the Supreme Court, and the House won't be able to do a damn thing about it. Not a damn thing about it. And if the House passes the law trying to get around or subvert or stop one of these things, and that law is challenged, it's going to go through the same judicial process that Hillary Clinton has appointed. So it's really kind of a checkmate on American values, the Constitution, Hillary's reign of terror, mostly for her own benefit, and bills. Did you see that WikiLeaks that came out? The guy's name is Brand, and he kind of set up all Bill Clinton's crapola while he was president and afterwards through the Clinton Foundation. And the WikiLeaks emails came out, and lo and behold, Bill Clinton was, he made $50 million. Remember Hillary saying they were broke when they left the White House? $50 million in his last years as president and his first years as not being president, with another $66 million rolling in, which this guy Brandt and his outfit kind of put together for him for speeches and consultations. I mean, if you read the email, you can dial it up on Google if it's not down in the articles today. If you read the email, it's clear. I mean, the guy is like crystal clear as to what he did, how much was made, blah, 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 blah. He also reveals in those emails that Clinton doubled his speaking fees the day that Hillary Clinton was named Secretary of State. Must be just a coincidence. There was no pay to play here, folks. Move along, move along, move along. No, absolutely nothing. Uma Abedin, who's at the center, she is the closest, I mean, they consider her one of the family. She's also a Muslim Brotherhood disciple who worked for 10 years on a newspaper founded by her mother, who is a rabid Sharia law advocate. Uma Abedin is married to Anthony Weiner. Remember the guy who drops his pants on Twitter for women he doesn't know? I haven't heard Hillary accuse Trump of that yet. Anyway, the long story short of this is Uma Abedin in some way, shape, or form is at the center of this reopened FBI probe. We will wait to see what's involved in that probe. But and a reopening of the investigation against Hillary Clinton, which, of course, the Democrats are trying to poo-poo and say, no, that's not really what it is. The bottom line of all this is all interrelated. It's all interrelated. Uma Abedin was drawing three salaries, kind of like Cheryl Mills, you know, the chief counsel for Hillary Clinton, kind of her second closest confidant. Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin were drawing paychecks from the Clinton Foundation, the State Department, and the Clinton campaign at the same time. But there's no correlation here, folks. Move on, move on. Move on, move on. And by the way, that's also illegal. So, the Senate deal is important. And I'm going to direct you again to those links under politics. And I believe there's 7 or 8. And those are 7 or 8 key Senate battleground races. Put your money where your mouth is. Send them 10, 20, 30, 50 bucks. Send some money. Have some skin in the game. This is about you. This is not about them. This is about you. Your family, your kids, your future, the future of your country. Skin in the game, folks. That's what separates us from them. Skin in the game. All right. Our next little item. Next little item, right. None of these items are little. I don't know which one is more huge, actually. So how about voter fraud? Now, you know, the Democrats run around, and I don't need to repeat all this for you. You know, voter ID is suppressive. Never mind, you need one to get into a movie theater. You need one to get on a plane. You're going to shortly need one to get on a train. You need one to get on a bus. You know, you need one to buy booze. You need one to buy cigarettes. But, no, you don't need one to vote. That's suppressive. And early voting? Oh, the Democrats love early voting. That's where they can really pull off their frauds. There's those votes by mail, right? Dead people, dogs, you know, people voting 10 times, illegal aliens who don't have any constitutional right to vote, yada, yada, yada. And you know what they really love? They love voter registration and early voting the same day. Because like, then there's no, with no voter ID, then there's no chance to check on anything. And of course, they say, just like Barack Obama says, hey, there was no IRS problem. Hey, I didn't know anything about Hillary's emails. Until I heard about it on the news. I don't know if you've seen that interview. They've been playing it all week. So he's sitting down with one of the major networks. I think it was Charlie Rose. And Rose asked him a pointed question. When did you know about Hillary's illegal server? Or secret server? Whatever his exact terminology was. And Obama kind of blinks a little bit and he goes, oh, I heard about it in the news when everybody else did. Well, unfortunately, WikiLeaks has released emails which talk about POTUS, that's him, President of the United States, POTUS, emails back and forth with Hillary Clinton on her non-government email using her Hillary Clinton private server. So he knew all about it. Again, he lied. You know, you can keep your doctor, your premiums are going to go down. We're kind of seeing the result of that, aren't we? So that's what these people do. They lie. They give you the poison pill. They hope you swallow it. And they hope that by the time you wake up, the poison is within your system and you can't get rid of it. That is their playbook. And that is their playbook with voter fraud. If they can perpetrate the fraud all the time protesting that there is no fraud, by the time the fraud is discovered, the fraud is perpetrated. The votes are cast. Al Franken is elected and casts a 60th vote for Obamacare. Which, by the way, folks, you don't think that affects you, even you folks who are not on Obamacare? Let me clue you in. It all affects you. Because Al Franken, who was elected by 329 votes, after 1,800 fraudulent votes were cast by felons, as discovered just right after the election. So he was fraudulently elected to the United States Senate, cast a 60th vote for Obamacare. Now, all of you who have Obamacare, and you're now paying $4,000 or $5,000 a year, or will be next year, when you were promised that your premiums would go down $2,500 from the whatever you were paying, $2,500, $2,800 before, you know you've been lied to. All of you who had employer-sponsored plans that you were happy with or personal plans you were happy with doctors you like with who have lost them, 9 million of you, you know that was a fraud, right? Remember, you can keep your doctor. And all of you who are not in the first two groups who think, man, am I lucky? I'm not in Obamacare and I didn't lose my plan. Well, number one, your rates are going up anyway because of Obamacare, and your taxes are paying for the losses in Obamacare. But putting that to the side, in the last part of this show, I'm going to go into what Hillary Clinton and her designated Treasury Secretary have planned for your retirement account. And part of it is to subsidize these increasing and intentional losses in Obamacare. So it does affect you. It's going to come right out of your IRA and your KEO. And you're going to lose control of your retirement accounts. So you're damn right it affects you. Once again, download that app. I hope it's on the page below under politics, the link to download it. If not, go to truethevote.com, T-R-U-E, thevote.com, and download it. All right, so while the Democrats, progressives, liars, are trying to tell us there is no voter fraud, and I've given you the stats for the last election, 2.5 million, give or take 100,000 votes, I'm gonna work from the biggest to the least here. So here's what's come out of the WikiLeaks stuff, and here's what's come out of some other investigative reporting, good investigative reporting. There's 57,000 voting machines that are made by Smartmatic company. They are based in the United Kingdom, Britain. They have provided voting machines to 16 states, including the battleground states, Florida, Arizona, etc. The chairman of that company, Mark Malik Brown, who's a former United Nations official, remember, globalism, United Nations official, also sits on the board of George Soros's, listen to my show last week, I've talked about him many times, you can type Soros in the search bar and you can listen to all the shows. He sits on George Soros's Open Society Foundation board. Yes, he does. Now, if you don't think this is a globalist conspiracy, you are just flat crazy. Of the highest proportions, is this a globalist conspiracy? So Hillary Clinton condones the voter fraud and plans it, as caught on videotape with her minions, in conjunction with George Soros, one of her largest campaign contributors and self-admitted globalist who has a society, the Open Society Foundation, on whose board sits the chairman of a company in which Soros is invested that manufactures digital voting machines that are, there are 57,000 of them in 300 counties in 16 states, including the battleground states. I just don't think this is going to end well, folks. And I'm not a favor of digital voting, you know? Too bad if it takes more time to count paper ballots. Too bad if you got to count the chads. I don't trust the digital crap at all. Zero. Anybody can hack it. Anybody can control it. It's been proven. There was a study I put up, I believe, 4 or 5 weeks ago, under politics and voter fraud, where a professor showed how it would take 7 minutes to rig a voting machine. All somebody needs is a screwdriver and 7 minutes alone with it. Never mind what you might program into the damn thing when you build it, in the case of this Soros, smart tech, Hillary Clinton cabal of fraudulent people and globalists and progressives. So, you know, and early voting, bad idea. Early voting, same-day registration, worse idea. Voting without ID, an even worse idea. I mean, this is outrageous. Outrageous type stuff. To go on with this Smartmatic machine, by the way, any of you who are voting in any state, check the maker of the machines you're voting on, if unfortunately you're voting on a digital machine. If it is Smartmatic, and you should be doing this with any digital machine, you make sure your damn vote is counted as you want it to be counted. If it's Smartmatic, you make doubly sure. That's not to say they can't switch the damn things later. I mean, who knows how all that works? I'm not a techie. I'm sure they are. And download that app from True the Vote to report the fraud or the potential of fraud. Don't be bashful. Better to say something than nothing. If you have the slightest suspicion, report it. All right. Now we're going to go down the line. This is the big stuff. There's another company who's also made thousands of voting machines in other hundreds of counties in other states and some of the same states the Smartmatic machines are in. And they happen to be a contributor. They contributed $200,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Oh, I wonder where their loyalties lie. I'll have more information on that for you next week, so you can watch those machines if they're made by that particular company also. Now, if you go back to 2012, you know, this voter fraud that supposedly doesn't exist, there's a guy by the name of Bill Bean. He's a mathematician. He's now retired, a Pittsburgh area manufacturer. So he was intrigued by the fact that in the election of 2012, in three counties, Mitt Romney got 24,000 less Republican votes than John McCain did. He thought that was really odd. He also thought it was really odd that in a number of districts in the inner cities, Mitt Romney didn't get a single vote. In fact, the sum total of the votes in those districts was 19,000 and change, and not one single vote was cast for Mitt Romney. He thought that was really odd. So he went about and investigated, and he put together the mathematical schedules of this. This is really interesting. So he wanted to know why either fewer Republicans voted in 2012 than in 2008, or why the Allegheny County, this is in Pennsylvania, a battleground state, voter history failed to record the votes of those who did. So he went to Republicans who voted in the 2008 presidential election, but did not vote, according to the county, in the 2012 election. There were 24,000 people that fell in that category. He did a phone survey. He reached 21 people. 18 of them, or their spouses, claimed the person, in fact, did vote for Romney in 2012. He admits the phone survey is unreliable. He wanted to do more testing. He went to 131 residences of Republicans who voted in 2008 but did not appear to have voted in 2012. Of those 131 residences, and he asked them to sign an affidavit that they voted in 2012. An affidavit, sworn affidavit. I'm sorry, he took the survey to 179 households. 130 of those voters were not at home or were no longer at the location. Of those remaining, 38 were willing to answer the question. Of those, 13 said they had not voted, and 25 said they had voted and signed the affidavit in the 2012 election. When he combined that with his phone surveys, there were 49 Republican voters identified as having voted, none of whom, zero, were listed as having voted in 2012 at the Bureau of Elections in Allegheny County. So, of the 49, 22 signed an affidavit. And many expressed disbelief that, you know, there was no record of their voting in 2012. Now, obviously, this is a small sampling, but I think it kind of gets you to where the voter fraud lies. It lies at all levels of the government, all levels of the voter, all levels of the people who are involved with the voting, and all levels of the manufacturers who manufacture the machines and the methods by which we vote. As far as those inner city deals, this is Bill Bean again. Okay, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that in 59 inner city voting divisions, Mitt Romney received no votes. Okay, when Barack Obama outscored Romney 19,605 to zero votes in those 59 districts. That's better, folks, than Fidel Castro does in his elections, Putin does in his elections, or that crooked SOB who died down in Venezuela, Chavez, did in his elections. If only by the mathematical, by his statisticians, remember he's trained as this, statisticians' figures, being figured out that if only 14 people voted in those districts, the odds would be monumental that Romney would receive at least one vote of the 14. This is just based on the records. If 80 people had voted, Romney would have received a 99% and some decimal places percent chance of receiving at least one of those votes. With nearly 20,000 votes, the odds of Romney being being completely shut out are beyond any reasonable calculation, unquote. Of course, the media said nothing about this. Let's go down to, like, the individuals. Now, think about this. Think about if there are 100,000, just 100,000, and I think I'm way light, out of tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of voters scattered across the 50 states. Just think about if 100,000 are crooked. If 100,000 of them, the rule of law means nothing, the Constitution means nothing, winning means everything, and they are justified for whatever reason in their minds to commit voter fraud. 100,000 of them. And let's say they commit three instances of voter fraud themselves, just as individuals. That is 300,000 votes. If you want to have some fun, go to Google and find out how many elections in the United States were decided by less than 1,000 votes. 1,000 votes. I gave you one, Al Franken, 329 votes after 1,800 fraudulent votes were cast for him. Find out how many elections were decided by under 1,000 votes, and you can understand that 300,000 votes perpetrated by individuals, never mind a conspiracy to commit voter fraud, which is now absolutely documented on video, in emails, in the cozy relationships between the manufacturers of digital voting machines, the globalists, Soros, Clinton, you name it. This is a scary deal. And let me give you just a couple of examples. And I'm just going to, some of these I'm just going to read off the states where there are other examples. Virginia. Harrisburg, Virginia. 20 voter applications were submitted for dead people by a registration group called Harrisonburg Votes. It's headed by Joe Fitzgerald, chairman of the Democratic Committee in Harrisonburg. It is now under investigation. That's just one individual, 20 fraudulent votes. Colorado, September 2016. Dead people are voting in multiple elections. Quote, "We do believe there were several instances of potential voter fraud that occurred." Democratic Colorado Secretary of State Wayne Williams told local news station CBS S4. Sarasota, Colorado. She died in 2009, but in 2008, and then in 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013, she voted. Remember, she died in 2009. Yes, the votes were cast for Democrats. Michigan. I won't even bother you with Michigan. Let's just say there's other examples of individual extensive fraud in Michigan, another battleground state. California. According to California, which is highly Democratic and progressive, there was only, I quote, 194 people who voted twice. Remember, the population of California, I believe, is what, 16 million, 20 million, whatever it is. But only 194 people, which, by the way, is 194 people too many, voted twice. Yes. And by the way, these were mail-in votes, you know, early voting votes. And the 194 people that they caught, just because I think they couldn't ignore it, these people were so stupid, they just walked into it. The 194 people they caught, they only caught because after the people mailed in their ballots, they also showed up at the polling place to vote again. Wow. I mean, I'm laughing, but it makes you want to retch. Missouri, another battleground state. There's a Democratic primary in St. Louis this year. It was totally scrapped. I mean, they threw out the election. After all the absentee ballots, remember, voting by mail, were improperly recorded. The first election, incumbent Penny Hubbard, a Democrat. It showed her winning the race. Guess what happened when they reheld the election and they got rid of this fraud? The Republican, Bruce Franks Jr., won decisively. It wasn't even close. Florida, many instances, not going to go over them. Kentucky, three people convicted of felony voter fraud in 2016. All Democratic operatives, in some cases Democratic county and state officials, including County Magistrate Gary Risner, Deputy County Clerk Larry Shepard, and a Tammy Jo Risner. They were buying votes, $25 to $50 a vote. Unbelievable. I quote, during the case, the court heard witnesses testified to being paid $50 to vote for a slate in 2014. Great. Arkansas. Oh, well, it's Hillary's home state. What do we expect? Democratic. Gee, it's amazing how this is all Democratic. Democratic State Representative Hudson Hallam and his dad, Ken Hallam, and two campaign workers are caught bribing absentee voters and tampering with ballots. They pled guilty and were sentenced. There was more in Georgia, more in Indiana, including, by the way, the former Indiana Democratic Secretary of State, Charlie White, who was convicted of felony charges in 2012. Pennsylvania, right? We talked about Pennsylvania, Mr. Bean, and the research, startling research that he did. When I opened this segment, the Secretary of the Commonwealth, this is a high state official, there's potential, quote, she announces, quote, there's potential voter fraud in Pennsylvania, unquote. And then goes on to say, proudly, that they caught 731 people who may have double voted. Once again. You know, Pennsylvania has a population of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 million, whatever it is. It's a lot. Just 731, huh? Okay. Iowa. There's a gal by the name of Myra Alondra Lopez Morales. She pled guilty, was convicted in 2014. Illegal alien who admitted to registering and voting in the 2012 election because voter ID was not required. Connecticut, former Connecticut State Representative Christina Ayala, A-Y-A-L-A, a Democrat. Wow, it's amazing. This must be a coincidence. It's all Democrats. Was convicted in 2015 for election law violations. She voted several times, including in districts she didn't live. This is state representative. Louisiana. Stanley Lager pled guilty to buying votes in the mayor's race. He found mentally impaired people and paid them $10 each for their vote. Maryland. Wendy Rosen, a 2012 Democratic congressional candidate in Maryland. Wow, it's unbelievable. She voted in 2006 and 2008 in both Maryland and Florida. She pled guilty and was sentenced. Alaska, another illegal alien. This guy, a Mexican by the name of Rogelio Mejorada Lopez. He registered to vote in Alaska and voted in several elections. He was an illegal alien. No voter ID. And then there's Wisconsin and Alabama and Massachusetts. Let's take Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio. Another battleground state. A poll worker. Democrat. Named Meloise Richardson. She was convicted on 4 counts of illegal voting in 2013. She voted twice in the 2012 presidential election and voted 3 other times for her sister, who was then in a coma. Now, folks, would each of these instances in and of themselves sway an election? They could, particularly at a local level where a few votes can decide a mayor, a county commissioner, a sheriff. Would they sway a national election? No. But if you take them all together and you understand that this is the tip of a monumental iceberg, and at the base of the iceberg is a concerted effort to steal from you your basic privilege as an American, you're damn right it can influence a national election and your life. I gave you the example with Al Franken, which led to Obamacare, which is now leading toward an invasion of your pensions, your IRAs and your KEOs, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. Leads right in. Beautiful. So the Wall Street executive, you know, Hillary hates Wall Street. She's going to regulate all the banks. She gets paid $225,000 to speak to all those boys, Goldman, etc. Goldman, by the way, is the major supporter of the Clinton Global Foundation. My, it's amazing how all these tentacles just kind of go everywhere, right? She's like a little corrupt octopus, and in each tentacle she holds another little player and squeezes them for money. In return, they get favors. Now, what do investment banks do, folks? They manage money. That's what they do. And they get paid handsomely for it. Very handsomely. Billions and billions and trillions of dollars. Yes, they do. And, of course, their higher-ups, the guys who decide what they're going to support, who they're going to support, how much they're going to give, they get really big bonuses. We're talking about tens and hundreds of millions of dollars personally. Pay to play. Well, she is thinking of her Treasury Secretary. She wants the Trailblazer fundraiser, who's raised all sorts of millions of dollars for her, and lined up her speeches for $225,000 a pop at Goldman Sachs, which have now been exposed by WikiLeaks. His name is Hamilton Tony James. He is the president of the Blackstone Group, a huge Wall Street outfit. They are the largest money managers in the world with $4.65 trillion under their management. This is according to Pension and Invest Research Center, which tracks Wall Street activities and is the kind of the known voice of Wall Street, if you will. James, and this, of course, has been kept hush-hush by the media, particularly with Obamacare cratering, James is proposing a new retirement savings structure that would, I quote, completely scrap the 401k system, unquote, and instead replace it with a, quote, retirement savings plan, a national retirement savings plan, unquote. He's doing this in combination with a labor economist and left-wing progressive by the name of Teresa Ghilarducci. She works at the Economic Policy Institute. If their plan becomes law, and remember, Hillary could do this on executive order, and if challenged to judges she appointed, obviously would stand. You get how all this works, guys? If the plan becomes law, all non-union, full and part-time employees, not the unions are her friends, would be forced to deposit 3% of their annual salary into a GRA, a guaranteed retirement account. I've talked about this. Type in My IRA in the search bar. Type in retirement plans in the search bar. And I've been warning you about this for at least a year and a half. At least a year and a half. According to James and Gilarducci, the current 401 system is broken. We have a crisis. Never let a crisis go to waste. It can only be fixed, quote, only be fixed, unquote, by an overhaul. That includes a federal takeover. You know, it's kind of like what they did with Obamacare, remember? Our healthcare system is broken. It can only be fixed if we take it over. We know how that turned out. You can imagine how this will turn out. $25 trillion, the control of $25 trillion of your money, your retirement monies, and your 401ks and IRAs transferred to the federal government. You can imagine how that will work out. And by the way, she wrote a book, if you'd like to read up on this for yourself. Unfortunately, I guess you'll have to buy it and she'll have to get some money for it. When I'm 64, the plot against pensions and the plan to save them. That's the name of the book. Yeah. All right. So she says, you know, only 23% of workers age 45 and above save more than $250,000. And she wants to fix that. And that's by taking your money and kind of making sure everybody has enough money. You know, reparations, retribution, and redistribution, folks. So they kind of justify, James and Gilarducci, and of course Hillary doesn't talk about this, their grab of Americans' retirement cash by saying that if we don't do this, the middle class will be all but decimated, quote, all but decimated, unquote, in retirement as a result of the, quote, broken IRA system, unquote. Their mandatory participation savings would be guaranteed to earn the federal government's, quote, official inflation rate plus 3%. Isn't that nice? What a nice return you'll have on all this wonderful stuff they're going to do for you. They fixed your health care, now they're going to fix your retirement. You know, there's a guy by the name of Ed Butowski. He's kind of the head of the Chapwood Index, very well respected. He points out that the 126-year-old Consumer Price Index, CPI, is the official inflation rate barometer for the United States government, and all the entitlements and increases in entitlements are pegged to it. However, and I have talked about this in previous shows, type in Consumer Price Index, type in realstatistics.com, type in government reporting and statistics. I mean, I've talked about this in numerous shows for many years, and particularly over the last year. The government is lying to us. Because the CPI, as Butowski points out, was adjusted in 83 and again in 95-96 to exclude items such as taxes, energy, and food. I mean, guys, girls. Who needs energy? We don't need to heat our houses. We don't need to run our cars. We don't need to turn on our lights. Who needs that crap? And food? Who needs food? Take a deep breath. Ready? One, two, three. Take another one. Are you getting those nutrients? You don't need food. Why should that be part of the CPI? Friggin' unbelievable. According to the U.S. government's official inflation rate, and I've talked about this, the inflation rate, you'll love it, was only 12.2% between 2008 and 2012. However, Butowski points to the Chapwood Index, which keeps track of all this stuff, and you can also go to realstatistics.com, which will give you the real skinny on this stuff, the unadjusted skinny. In a separately calculated inflation study that was calculated each quarter for the years 2008 to 2012, apples to apples, in America's 50 largest cities, guess what the numbers come out to? The real cost of living, yes, that includes the energy and the food, was up 10.2% in 2012 alone. 1 year. 10.2%, as opposed to the government telling you it's up 12% over 4 years. Now, needless to say, Wall Street loves the idea of one of their own being Treasury Secretary, and loves the idea even more of that $25 trillion in retirement accounts coming under government control, because guess what? The government's going to have to hire somebody to manage it. Do you see all the hands going up there in Wall Street in those big brick towers? Me, 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 choose me. You bet you do. Anyway, why don't we just say that this is just one more example of what you're not being told? One more example of Clinton, and as Trump would call it, the swamp, completely disregarding your welfare, completely being out for their own power, completely undermining American sovereignty and self-reliance of the American middle class, and replacing instead with lining their pockets, number one, graft, corruption, lying, and deceit, number two, treasonous breach of the Constitution, number three, and number four, personal gain, power, and globalism at your expense, number four. I mean, if this stuff isn't clear to you, they take your money, use it to steal your vote, to put themselves in power, to appoint other officials like the judiciary to bless their self-centered wishes and ideological wishes at your increased and additional expense. Do you get it? I hope so. Send some money to those Senate candidates. Send some money to Trump. Download that True the Vote voter fraud app. Keep your eyes open. Make sure you vote. You want to undo voter fraud? Obviously, we're not going to undo it between now and 10 days from now, but maybe we can root some of it out. You know, just as voter fraud is cumulatively bad, so is the discovery of voter fraud cumulatively good. It all adds up. And the biggest thing you can do is vote. And the next biggest thing you can do, kind of on an equal par, is make sure 10 of your friends vote. Promise yourself that you will make 10 phone calls. And if you got to call them more than once, you call them more than once. You've got to drive them down there, drive them down there. Call people in other states, particularly the battleground states that you know, friends, families, relatives, who cares? Get on your Facebook page. Get on your Twitter account. Get people to the polls. You want to undo voter fraud? Inundate voter fraud with real voters. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.